And this is the scripture that they have. It says, a fresh start. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 2:1. This is what it says. It says, fresh starts are something that God designed, not so a person could live in sin and embrace wrongdoing, but to supply the exceptional option of beginning again. If God denied us the opportunity to be forgiven, cleansed, and rise above a failure, there would be no one in relationship with Him after a very short period of time. Having the opportunity to start fresh, start anew, begin again, and have the classic do-over is what God has put into place for those who truly love Him. Those who do not allow this marvelous, magnificent move of mercy on God's part towards others are in essence eliminating that blessing for themselves. Why in the world would you deny someone else today the very same option that you will need, long for, and desire tomorrow? God knew that our journey towards eternity would be a most difficult road. He knew that we would need to be encouraged along the way in our faith. God grants us assurance that through repentance, grace, and faith, we might always have another chance to perfect what we once approached poorly or did incorrectly. Dear Lord, thank you for the ability to enter into a renewed lease on life today in the land of the living. My Lord, a fresh start every day, people. My Lord, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That's the only reason, because of Him and Him alone. Amen. If you get your Bibles, please. Before we start reading in the Word of God, if you would, let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this Word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There was an elderly man that had bought a new house. He walked into the new house and he opened up the drapes and they had a huge picture window. And as he had his furniture set up, he sat in it and he noticed something that was happening, not close, but a little further away than what he thought. He hadn't noticed it before. But there was construction going on and a building was being built. And so, you know, after he moved in, he kept watching and watching as it progressed along. You know, he saw as they came in with all their machinery and they dug the trenches and they did everything to lay the foundation. And they came in with the trucks and they poured the cement and it cured. And so he sees something unusual. As he's looking at the construction, the guys working on this building, the foundation is done, but he sees this big crane coming in. And lo and behold, it's taking this big silver box that it's holding, and it's putting it right in the middle of the foundation of what has already been laid. And he scratches his head and he looks and he says, what's going on? What is that? What are they building? What's going on there? Day after day, he sees things going on and he sees them building around this silver box. So, you know, curiosity was about to kill him. You know how we are, you know, we nosy sometimes. We just want to know, you know, but he wanted to know what was going on. So finally, one day he gets up and he sees the construction workers there and he said, I'm going to meet them. And he walks out there and he says, guys, I need to ask y'all something. What is this right in the middle? And so they look at him and they say, we're building a bank. And right in the middle of the bank is the vault. Remember this. Jesus is the center of your life. The vault that holds everything. And without Him, we are zero. We are nothing. And we got to make sure all the precious things that would go in a vault. You know, they put high price items, things that mean a lot, into that vault. We got to make sure that we keep our hearts currently right with Him at all times. Because you see, we can do everything in this world, but if Jesus is not the Lord of our lives, what have we accomplished and what we have done? It doesn't mean much. We can build universities, we can build buildings, we can give X amount of money to the poor, and all those things are very important and very good. But I tell you what, the most important thing in all of our lives is Jesus Christ being the Lord of our lives. That He does what He wants to do in our hearts, and we keep it. And this is the major thing. We keep it as a priority. Our relationship with Him, that we work on that continuously as we put our faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. You know, Jesus just didn't come just to do it. You know, the Father, you know, it says Jesus on the right hand of the Father, so this is my right hand, okay? The Father didn't just turn to Jesus and say, you know, why don't you just go down to earth and die, just to die. There was a reason for His death. And the reason for His death was because we could not pay the penalty of sin. We could not do it as humanly possible. So Jesus, being the spotless lamb, came, being born of a virgin, lived upon the earth, died on Calvary's cross. My Lord, it wasn't an easy death. I mean, who wants to be nailed to a cross? Who wants to be beat upon their back? Who wants their, if you're a man, your beard pulled? Who wants to be slapped? Who wants to have a spear put in your side just because of hatred? Make sure he's dead. Who wants to have a crown of thorns put upon your head and not just gently put, but really with force upon his head? And doing it for people. Because it says in John 3:16, which is probably the most famous scripture that just about everybody knows. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. You see, we can't enter into heaven without Jesus. You know, many people talk about, you know, there's many doors to heaven. Well, let me tell you, the scripture, this word, the Bible, says that there's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And really, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And so we have to accept Him. He has to be a part of our being, a part of our lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The book of Philippians, you know, was written by the Apostle Paul. You remember who Paul was? Paul is the guy that he was riding on his horse and was going to Damascus. And a light shined upon him and blinded him. And he was hit off the horse, my Lord. And God came and spoke to him. And he was blinded for X amount of days. But God changed his heart. God changed his name. God changed his life. Paul, from Saul to Paul. And Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, which was not one of the 12 disciples. My Lord, what a God we serve, huh? That shows me that he can take anyone and anything and use it for his glory. I know, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, the down and out down there, God can't use them. Let me tell you this. All God is looking for is a heart after him. What did the guy, the blind guy say, you know, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You know, here he was a beggar at the synagogue, begging for money, begging that people would have mercy upon him. And the Son of God was coming in, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he heard, he could hear the ruckus going on. He could hear what was happening. And he started calling upon the God that could bring healing to his lives, people. See, God wants to bring healing to us in every capacity, whatever way he can. Look, I've said this before, We are a bunch of messed up people. Without Christ, where would we be? Surely not in church, huh? Bunch of mess. But I tell you what, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And he called upon Christ, and Christ came to him and healed him of what he needed and saved his life. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Interesting. Here we see the Apostle Paul is preaching or writing this letter to the Philippian church. And he is trying to portray to them some things that they need. And he's telling them in verse 5, and we're going to read the other verses before and after, but verse 5 clears it up and it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What he's saying is this, you need to have the mind of Christ. How does God think about certain things? You see, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, it says Jesus came in and lives and abides in us now. My Lord, he's not just out there somewheres. He's living in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, whoever wants him. We have to have a desire for him, saying, "Lord, change my life." Look, I've talked to alcoholics where they tried everything the world had to give them and they couldn't get off of it. But I tell you, one touch from Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross changed their lives. I've talked to people about that were on drugs, down and out, but Christ came in and changed their lives. I've talked to a whole bunch of people that just had sin, like all of us. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter. We need a Savior, Jesus Christ, that can change us and help us to accomplish the mind of Christ. Look at this. Look at verse 2. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded." Now he's telling them, look, Philippians church, you need to be like-minded, have the same mind and heart, having of the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. My Lord. Interesting, huh? He was exhorting them. That means he was saying, this is what you should do. Before he said in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, my Lord." We need to have love towards people, love towards our God. Not, that doesn't mean accepting what they do, but to love the person that Christ died for. And that's for each and every one of us. Unity of mind and heart, one accord in one mind, faith in him. But look at verse 3, it says, now he's telling the Philippian church, now we're looking at, this is the mind of God. He's saying, look, love people, just like Christ loved people. That doesn't mean you accept everything, but we love them no matter who they are and what they've done. But he says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory." My Lord, you know what strife is? Bitter, ongoing conflict, angry, arguing, and fighting. You know what vainglory is? Excessive, unjustified pride, boastfulness, or vanity regarding one's own achievements, abilities, or quality. He said, let nothing be done. He's talking to the body of Christ, though. He's talking to the church of Christ. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. We're not to allow these things to happen. I know I told you the story about the church that had a church fight. It was a huge church. One side didn't like the other side, so they put a piece of tape down the middle. This is serious. Down the middle. One side would have church, and the other side would have church, and two different services, whatever they wanted. They just were fighting each other. Now, can you imagine? Well, one guy on one side looked at the other guy on the other side and made an evil eye towards him, and he just had enough. And they started fighting in the aisle on the line. You know what's the sad part? The cops and everything had to come. This is a true story. The cops and everything had to come and break it up. You see, we should never do anything out of strife or vainglory at all towards anyone else. You know how many people are hurt in churches today because of something maybe someone said or the actions of someone? Now, you have to stand for righteousness. I'm not saying that. but because of actions and speaking and saying and doing things that just hurts to the inner core. You know, when somebody gets hurt, it takes a long time to heal, huh? God says he takes the salve of healing and he puts it over the parts of our lives that need healing. God wants to heal, but we need to make sure our actions are right, that we're not doing anything out of anger or bitterness or fighting or excessive unjustified pride, boastfulness. We should not be ever doing those things. But it says in verse 4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. You read the comment, it says, means to look only at one's own things and interest in the affairs of others. You know, Christ had the interests of people. When the Father asked him, would you go and do what I need done so I can be reconciled back to my people? Honestly, I don't think Jesus had a second thought. But he knew what he would have to endure. He knew he'd have to endure the sacrifice and the evil torture of things, being nailed to a cross. But he did it because of his love towards us. We have to. The mind of Christ is thinking of others before self. I bet you ask these two guys that were ministers of the past, and they still ministers, thank you. But I tell you what, I bet you they know how it is to sacrifice. I know it. When you put everything first in ministry, basically, people, because that's what God says to do, you have to do it. See, Christ put people first. He died for people. He didn't die for institutions. He didn't die for religion. He didn't die for any of those things, but he died for people because of the love that he has for humanity. See, the mind of Christ is looking at others and seeing what is the best interest of others. See, you and I as Christians, we're to look to the best interests of other people to the best of our ability. The world says, be selfish. Take. Let other people be a stepping block for you. That's what the world says. Step on them. Get higher up. But really, the Bible says, be the stepping stone for others. And you might say, well, I won't get anywhere. Let me tell you this. God will lift up in his own timing when it's time for us to be lifted up. He will do what needs to happen. Put the interests of other people before yours a little bit and mine. And let God move in and do. That's the mind of Christ. He was telling the Philippians, put others first. Put others first. John chapter 3 talks about Nicodemus. And how he went to Jesus, you know, trying to find out, you know, was the way of salvation. And God gave him the way that it was only through Jesus. Asking John, I'm sorry. And John told him it was Jesus to be saved, to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the main thing. And after you do that, you let Christ work in our hearts and in our lives, working out our salvation with fear and trembling in Christ. Letting God do a mighty work. You know how merciful God is. You know when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and that was miraculous. You know, the Egyptians had the greatest military. And for Jewish slaves, basically, to come out of that place and with all the silver and gold and all that they had, when they came out, it should have taken them basically 11 days or so to get to the promised land of Canaan. But you know how long it took them? And I know you know this. 40 years. You might say, well, man. And that was because of them, their disobedience to God. But I want to give you the mercy of God. It says that after about a month that they were on their journey, and they kept going round and round and not entering in. And that really is a key to us also. We got to seek God. Lord, what do you want for us? What do you want for me as an individual? You know, where do you want me to go? Lord, what job do you want me to have? I mean, look, we need God to intervene in every aspect of our lives so that we don't make mistakes. Look, we've all made mistakes. Huh? I know it. We all raise our hands and our legs. All mistakes. But God can right those wrongs if we go to him and we humble ourselves before him. God in his mercy gave to the children of Israel after about a month. Okay. They should have been there in 11 days. Let's say 31 days in a month. You know, there's some 21, 29, there's some 30, some 31. Let's say 31. That's 20 days, basically, when God started to give them heavenly bread, which was called manna. Miraculous. Miraculous. You might say, well, that's Bible days of miracles. Let me tell you, we still live in the days of miracles. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of miracles. You might say, well, God can't change the pattern of my life. Yes, he can. Well, God can't move upon this situation and that situation. Yes, he can. Go to him. Look, especially when something happens that maybe is not too good, huh? The first thing you should do is hand it over to the Lord. When the storm of life comes and something happens that just throws you off balance, the first thing you need to do, you might say, well, I can't, you're not, whatever, just say it under your breath, saying, Lord, I give you this situation. I give you this problem. Lord, handle it. Give it to him first. And you knock on that door and you keep on knocking till an answer comes from the Lord. We serve a miracle working God. And in scripture, it says that his ears are attentive to the people that serve him, to his children. Attentive unto him. After about a month or so, it says God in his mercy. And really, mercy is one of the things that he talks about the Philippian church needs to have, is mercy. Mercy is basically, in one word, you know what it is? Compassion. Compassion towards people. Compassion. I'm not saying taken advantage of, okay? But compassion. After 31 days, he gave instructions to Moses what they should do. And he says, have them go out every day and I'll give them bread. Because you see, really, how much food could they have taken from Egypt on their journey? If they made it fresh that day, the day they left, by that time, I can guarantee you, it was stale. They were running out of food. And some may not have had food. You might say, well, God will still be merciful even when we disobey him. Thank God he is. Thank God he is, people. And at let's say 31 days, it says he told Moses what to tell the people. And you know that he had them go out there every day, except on the Sabbath or the day before the Sabbath, and to take up what they needed for that day. And this was heavenly bread. Look, you know how miraculous this was? It would come out in the morning, a bread. It was called a wafer. And they seemed to think that in that wafer was honey. It was a little sweet, little bit of honey in it. And it would not lay on the ground, miraculous people. It would stay a few inches off of the ground, the bread. And all they had to do, they didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to spend their money for it. They didn't have to even go pray about it. They didn't have to talk to their spouse or their children or whatever. Zero. All they had to do was get up in the morning, obey the Lord, walk out, get what they needed for that day, cook what they needed, and they were fed, even though they were in disobedience for the most part. Now, you know there were some people that tried to take more than what they needed that day. And God says, God would make, it was like a worm type thing that would destroy that bread that was left over. Except only the day before the Sabbath, they took 2 days supply and it lasted the next day. That's miraculous. Look, when we do what God says, he will supply. Amen. My Lord, when we do what God says, miraculously he comes through. That's unheard of in this world. But you see, it's not unheard of in the heavenly world. When we obey God, God will come in and do what needs to happen. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a living God that's alive and well, that is ready to do what needs to be done, to build our faith in him. You see? Because you see, the enemy will try to destroy our faith in our God. But we have to keep our faith strong in him, in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, people. That's the only way. That brings victory. That brings victory in our personal lives. That brings victory in a church. That brings victory in a family as they keep their faith fastened upon what Jesus did. what he did at Calvary. He destroyed the works of the enemy. He conquered sin upon Calvary's cross because he was perfect, and brought it as an offering, the blood unto the Father. And he accepted it and said, no more. That's it. And so we accept what Jesus did. That's all he wants us to do. Accept what Jesus did through the cross of Calvary. And when we accept that, we're on the line of what God wants, people. See, we cannot get astray. We cannot think that, well, you know, I pray an hour a day and whatever, whoever does, whatever, that's going to get me into heaven. It won't. Well, you know, I give X amount of money. Well, that will get me into heaven. No, it won't. Well, I give to the poor, and you can give everything to the poor, but that will not get you into heaven. Now, all those things are good. We're to care about the poor, huh? We're to care about people's souls. We're to care about what people are going through and help them and not always be about self. That's what he was telling the Philippian church. Get away from self. Look at the needs of others. And when we look at the needs of others, the power of Almighty God will be upon our hearts and upon our lives. Looking outside, looking the way God sees us from heaven above. My Lord, what God can do in our hearts and lives, people. Look, let me tell you this. It's never all lost, ever, ever. Except when we close our eyes for the last time. That is it. The only way to heaven, people, is Jesus Christ. Just as Nicodemus accepted. This was a man that knew the law. And I'm talking about the Old Testament law. He knew it. But Christ said that wasn't what you put your faith in. And he came to the realization that it was only Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha. It's not any religion, people. It's not Muhammad. And maybe they've done and read about some good things, whatever. But the only one that can have heaven's door open unto us when we pass away is Jesus Christ. And we have to herald it out no matter what. No matter what the world thinks. No matter what people think, no matter what religion thinks, no matter what, that is Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he did at Calvary's cross that opens the door of heaven above. My Lord, I'll never forget the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. I was 15 years old. I had just gone through surgery. I was in school and I cut off some of my fingers. My mom had gotten saved and she was going to a church in Kaplan. And I said, there has to be more. You know, when you think there has to be more than what life is about, you know, it's like just a little bit more, something that brings peace on the inside, something that just touches our hearts and lives. And there was a lady that came to our home and she just talked about Jesus. Her name was Trudy Painter. I'll never forget. I'm ever indebted. And talked about Jesus Christ. And she just said, let me show you some scriptures. And she went to John chapter 3 and talked about how Nicodemus accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I said, I want it. I want it. Never knowing that one day I would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not knowing that God had a plan, just as he has a plan for your life. A plan of hope. A plan of peace. A plan of joy. A plan of just serving him, my Lord. And it was a simple prayer. I mean, just simple, just repenting of my sin, asking God to forgive me, and accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. My Lord. February the 4th, 1980. See, you never forget when you're touched by God. See, and when we never forget, the power of God is always there to help us to remember what Jesus did. You don't know how many people I talk to about Jesus Christ because I know that's the only hope. That was all my hope is in him. Our hope is in our God. Don't ever let the opportunity of telling somebody about Jesus slip away. Slip away. Listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Can you imagine? It just blows me away. But it blows me away that the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, in me. You know, there's the Holy Spirit, but he abides in us. We accepted Jesus Christ and he abides in us. It blows me away what God can do. Remember this, there's always hope. And you know, Jesus gave hope, or God gave hope to the children of Israel. It should have taken him 11 days, but he showed mercy, as he shows mercy to us. Shows mercy. We need to have the mind of Christ, letting God work in us. The heart of God. Our hearts need to be changed. Correct thinking of the Word of God, letting him become a reality to us in who he is, my Lord.